Welcome to Zichur Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're Masechet Shabbos, Daf Nun Dalet. So the 3 points we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah say that camels may not go out akud, bound, or ragul, hobbled, which prevents them from running away. Yudah follows the Tanakh that says that akud means the binding of the hand and the foot in the same way that Yitzchak was tied by Avram Avinu. A Brisa states that it's either tying up the two front legs or the hind legs together, and a second Brisa includes both definitions. Ragul means bending the lower foreleg onto its upper foreleg and tying it there. Since these chains can cause pain to the animal, they're considered a burden to the animal and the animal would be considered carrying. Point number two, the Mishnah states that a man may gather the ropes together of camels to pull them, provided he doesn't wrap the ropes around his hand. Rav Ashi explained that the concern of wrapping around the hands was one of kalayim. So the Gemara suggests the Mishnah cannot be concerned about the kalayim of the ropes if one was made of wool and the other one was made of linen, since it was taught in the Mishnah that one connection, a tekiva achas, between the wool and linen is not considered a combination, it's not considered a chibur. Even one knot, therefore, is not considered kalayim. The Gemara clarifies that, in fact, the Mishnah's concern, according to Rav Ashi, was the climb of ropes, and when the Mishnah stated, provided that he does not wrap the ropes around his hand, it meant provided that he doesn't make two knots, which would then create an issue of kalayim. And finally, number three, the Mishnah stated that a cow may not go out on Shabbos with a strap between its horns, like the cow of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The Gemara clarifies that the cow referred to actually belonged to a female neighbor of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, but was identified by his name since he should have protested and told her not to let it go out, since it's considered carrying a burden. The Gemara then brings a number of teachings stating that those who do not protest against people they can have influence on are punished for those people's transgressions. All right, so let's review. Point number one, the Mishnah states that camels may not go out akud, bound, or ragul, hobbled, which prevents them from running away. Rav Yudah follows the Tanna that says that akud means the binding of hand and foot in the same way that Yitzchak was tied by Avram Avinu. One Brisa states that's either tying up the two front legs or the hind legs together, and a second Brisa includes both definitions. Ragul means bending the lower foreleg onto its upper foreleg and tying it there. Since these chains cause pain to the animal, they're considered a burden to the animal and the animal would be considered carrying. Point number two, the Mishnah states that a man may gather the ropes together of camels to pull them, provided he doesn't wrap the ropes around his hand. Rav Ashi explained that the concern of wrapping around the hands was one of kalayim. So the Gemara suggests that the Mishnah cannot be concerned about the kalayim of the ropes if one was made of wool and the other one was made of linen, since it was taught in the Mishnah that one connection, tekiva achas, between wool and linen is not considered a combination, not considered a chibur. Even one knot, therefore, is not considered kalayim. The Gemara clarifies that, in fact, the Mishnah's concern, according to Rav Ashi, was the climb of ropes. And when the Mishnah stated, provided that he does not wrap the ropes around his hand, it meant provided that he doesn't make two knots, which would be a matter of kalayim. Point number three, the Mishnah stated that a cow may not go out on Shabbos with a strap between its horns, like the cow of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The Gemara clarifies that the cow referred to actually belonged to a female neighbor of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, but was identified by his name since he should have protested and told her not to let it go out, since it's considered carrying a masui, carrying a burden. And the Gemara then brings a number of teachings stating that those who do not protest against people they can have influence on are punished for those people's transgressions. All right, so now we go to our siman. So the siman for Nun Dalet is noodles. So here goes. The mischievous kid replaced all the camel's leg chains and ropes with huge noodles to help them go free, just like the cow he let loose with noodles between his horns. Once again, it's Lemotion. The mischievous kid replaced all the camel's leg chains and ropes with huge noodles. Noodles, that means we're on Daf Nun Dalet. Once again, the mischievous kid replaced all the camel's leg chains, which reminds us, the Mishnah say that camels may not go out akud bound or ragul hobbled, which prevents them from running away. Rav Yudah follows the Tana that says that akud means the binding of hand and foot in the same way that Yitzchak was tied by Avraham Avinu. One Brisa states that it's either tying up the two front legs or hind legs together. The second Brisa includes both definitions. Ragul means bending the lower foreleg onto its upper foreleg and tying it there. Since these chains cause pain to the animal, they're considered a burden to the animal, and the animal would be considered carrying. So the mischievous kid replaced all the camel's leg chains and ropes with huge noodles, which reminds us the Mishnah states that man may gather the ropes together of camels to pull them, provided he does not wrap the ropes around his hand. Rav Ashi explained that the concern of wrapping around the hands was one of kalayim. The Gemara suggests the Mishnah cannot be concerned about the climb of the ropes if one was made of wool and the other one was made of linen, since it was taught in the Mishnah that one connection, a tekifa achas, between the wool and the linen is not considered a combination. It's not considered a chibur. Even one knot, therefore, is not considered kalayim. The Gemara clarifies that, in fact, the Mishnah's concern, according to Rav Ashi, was the climb of the ropes. And when the Mishnah stated, provide that he does not wrap the ropes around his hand, it meant provide that he does not make two knots, which would be then climb. So the mischievous kid replaced all the camel's leg chains and ropes with huge noodles to help them go free, just like the cow he let loose with noodles between his horns. Which reminds us, the Mishnah say that a cow may not go out on Shabbos with a strap between its horns, like the cow of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The Gemara clarifies that the cow referred to actually belonged to a female neighbor of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, but was identified by his name, since he should have protested and told her not to let it go out, since it's considered carrying a burden. The Gemara then brings a number of teachings stating that those who do not protest against people that they can have an influence on are punished for those people's transgressions. So once again, the mischievous kid replaced all the camel's leg chains and ropes with huge noodles to help them go free, just like the cow he let loose with noodles between his horns. Now it's time for our four blot back chazara. Daf Nun. So the symbol for Daf Nun is a nincompoop, a silly foolish person. Here goes. The nincompoop, nincompoop, that means we're on Daf Nun. The nincompoop piled his wool shearings he was going to use for insulation, which reminds us, the Mishnah say that one may insulate with gizei tzemer, wood shearings, but they cannot be moved. Rashi explains that wool shearings are typically reserved to be made into thread, and therefore they're muksa. It was said in the name of Rebbe that the wool shearings are not permitted to be moved if they were not dedicated to being used for insulation. But if they were dedicated for use as insulation, they'd no longer be deemed muksa, and one would be permitted to move them. So the nincompoop piled his wool shearings he was going to use for insulation so high that he tripped over the hardened date palm branches, which reminds us, there's a three-way machlokas amarim regarding one who harvested charayo shadekel, hardened date palm branches for firewood, which are muksa, and then change his mind and decide to use them for sitting on, which is a non-muksa designation. So what's required to release the branches from their muksa status prior to Shabbos? Rav says Koshi must tie them into bundles, intent alone is not enough. Shmuel says Choshev, he must intend to sit upon them. He doesn't require physical action. Ravasi says Yoshev, he sits on them Erev Shabbos, even though he doesn't tie them or consciously intend to sit on them on Shabbos. So the nincompoop piled his wool shearings he was going to use for insulation so high that he tripped over the hardened date palm branches and fell into a batch of sweet-smelling barda. Which reminds us, Amemar Marzutra and Ravashi were sitting together one Shabbos and were brought barda, a mixture containing one-third aloes, one-third myrtle, and one-third violets. Amemar and Ravashi washed with it, but Marzutra did not. Ramarachai explained that Marzutra holds that even during the week one's not permitted to wash with it, since he agrees with what was taught in a brisa, that man may scrape crusts of filth and crusts of a wound because of discomfort, but is forbidden to do so if it's to beautify himself. Rashi explains that he would be transgressing the prohibition of lo yulbash ish simlas isha, a man should not wear a feminine garment. A Maimon Ravashi washed with it because they held what was taught in a brisa, that a person should wash his face, hands, and feet each day in honor of his creator. And Rashi explains the brisa means that it's an honor to one's creator due to the fact that a person was created in Hashem's image. Furthermore, one who sees beautiful creatures will come to bless Hashem. Daf Ninov. So the Simfer Ninov is a gnawing beaver, which connects us to a beaver pelt hat. So that's our simon, a beaver pelt hat. The Eskimo family, clad in their beaver pelt hats, that means we're on Daf Ninov. The Eskimo family, clad in their beaver pelt hats, were busy in their igloo, insulating their cold food, which reminds us, when it was reported that Shmuel ruled that one may insulate something cold on Shabbos to keep it cold, Rav Yosef wanted to know why Shmuel needed to teach this when the Mishnah stated very clearly that it was permitted. So Abaya answered that without Shmuel, one might have thought that the Mishnah only permitted insulating cold water, which is not usually heated up through placing it under a pillow, and therefore there is no concern that one would heat up water in this fashion, thereby violating the prohibition of Hatmana. Food, however, which is normally covered by a pillow in order to warm up, would be prohibited to insulate to keep cold, lest one come to insulate it to warm up. So Shmuel's coming to teach that it's permitted to insulate even cold foods as well. So the Eskimo family, clad in their beaver pelt hats, were busy in their igloo insulating their cold food and melting ice in their drinks, which reminds us, a brisa states that one may not crush snow or hail on Shabbos in order to make it into a liquid. It is permitted, however, to place them into a cup or bowl of liquid. Rashi explains that the Rabbanim forbade crushing the snow or hail into water, because one is creating something new, it's nolad, and therefore it has the appearance of a malacha. However, placing them into a cup of wine, as an example, in order to cool the wine in the summer, or into a bowl, is not a problem though, since the snow and hail melt on their own, and not as a result of one's direct actions. So the Eskimo family, clad in their beaver pelt hats, were busy in their igloo insulating their cold food and in melting ice in their drinks, while their arctic camels stood outside in their excessive restraints. Which reminds us, the first Mishnah in the fifth parak states that it is permitted to let one's camel go out into Rosh Hashanah Rabim wearing a halter, an afsar, and a female dromedary wearing a nose ring, a chotem, and it's not considered that the animal is doing the malach of a chotzah. The reason for this is that since they both serve to restrain the animal, they're not considered a burden, they're not considered a masui, which would be prohibited to carry, but rather as clothes. Rebbe was asked what the case would be if the restraints were switched, meaning if a camel may wear a nose ring and a female dromedary may wear a halter. Rebbe responded that it's obvious that the female dromedary cannot go out with the halter, with the afsar, since it is a feistier animal, and the halter, the afsar, will not restrain it. Therefore, the halter would be considered a burden. Rebbe said the only question is regarding the nose ring, the chotem, for the camel, which is considered an excessive restraint for it. On the one hand, since it's an excessive restraint, it's not necessary, and therefore maybe it's considered a burden. Or perhaps we don't say an excessive restraint is considered a burden. And this discussion continues on Daf Nun Beis. Daf Nun Beis. So the Sim from Nun Beis is a newbie to Yiddishkeit. So here goes. The newbie to Yiddishkeit, newbie, that means we're on Daf Nun Beis. The newbie to Yiddishkeit was enjoying the How to Transport a Paraduma on a Leash video, which reminds us Rav holds that an excessive restraint is considered a burden and is therefore prohibited for an animal to be restrained with it on Shabbos due to the prohibition of Hotzah. So this was challenged from a Brisa that stated that if the owner of a Paraduma tied a leash to it, the Paraduma is still valid. Now, a leash is considered an excessive restraint for a Paraduma, and if an excessive restraint is considered a burden, then it should disqualify the Paraduma, which is not permitted to carry burdens. Three Amoraim defended Rav, explaining that in this case, the extra restraint was necessary, and therefore it was not considered excessive to be classified as a burden. Abai said the Braisa was referring to a cow that was being transported to a different city, and therefore it required extra restraint so that it would not turn back. Rav explained that since the Paraduma is so rare and priceless, it needs to be guarded with extra care. And Ravina said that Braisa was referring to a rebellious cow, which required extra restraint. So the newbie to Yiddishkeit was enjoying the How to Transport a Paraduma on a Leash video until the more esoteric parts about purifying animal collars, which reminds us the Mishnah stated that one may sprinkle mechatas, the ash water of the Paraduma, upon a collar of an animal or immerse the collar in a mikveh even while it's on the animal's neck. This seems to contradict the Mishnah in Kalin that states that a ring of an animal is not capable of becoming tameh. So Rabbi Yitzhak answered that the collar was initially noy adam, a person's adornment, which then was transferred to become noy behema, an animal adornment. And Rashi explains that the ring became tameh while it was still a person's adornment. Rabbi Yosef explained that since a person pulls an animal at the collar, it's classified as a human utensil, not an animal utensil. So the newbie to Yiddishkeit was enjoying the How to Transport a Paraduma on a Leash video until the more esoteric parts about purifying animal collars and vessels losing their ability to become tameh through destructive physical changes. Which reminds us, a Mishnah of Kalim was brought that taught that all kalim, all utensils, become susceptible to contract tuma through machshava, through thought, if the craftsman decides he'll use it without adding more to it. But they do not lose their capacity to contract tuma, to be makabel tuma, unless there was a shinui emaisa, a physical change. Rabbi Yehuda taught in a braisa that when the Tana of the Mishnah said it loses its capacity to be makabel tuma through a maisa, through an action, he was only referring to a maisa that brought about a destructive physical change. Daf Nun Gimel. So the Simfer Nun Gimel is a Nigerian prince. So here goes. The Nigerian prince, that means we're on Daf Nun Gimel. The Nigerian prince rode through the village on his horse with a fancy feed bag and saddle cloth, which reminds us. There's Malkokes between Rav and Shmuel regarding what one can place on an animal on Shabbos. Rav holds that one may place a feed bag, a trusk, on an animal, which is for its pleasure, since it will not need to bend down to get food, and all the more so, one can place a saddle cloth, a mardas, on it to keep it warm and alleviate its suffering from the cold. These items are not considered a masui for the animal, and therefore the animal is not doing the action of hotzah. Shmuel holds that only the saddle cloth is permitted in order to alleviate the suffering, but the feed bag is prohibited since it's only there to provide comfort, and therefore it's considered a masui. So the Nigerian prince rode through the village on his horse with a fancy feed bag and saddle cloth, passing out kameis for people on their animals, which reminds us, the Gemara introduces a contradiction between a brice which states that an animal may not go out wearing a kameh, an amulet, even if it has proven effective. And a Mishnah states that a person may not go out with a kameh that has not proven effective, implying that one may go out with a kameh that has proven effective. So the Gemara answers that the Braisa is referring to a kameh that has proven effective for people, but is not proven effective for animals. And the Gemara clarifies that since a person has mazel, which Rashi explains to mean a malach, an angel, he's assisted in being healed. The animal lacking mazel doesn't get the extra assistance, and therefore the kameh may not be effective. So the Nigerian prince rode through the village on his horse with a fancy feed bag and saddle cloth, passing out kameis for people and their animals and golden coins to the man who needed a wet nurse for his son. which reminds the Gemara relates a miracle that occurred to a poor man who did not have enough money to hire a wet nurse after his wife died. Miraculously, his breast opened and he was able to nurse his son. So Rav Yosef said the man must have been great to have such a miracle performed for him. Abai said that on the contrary, the man must have been inferior, for the natural order was changed on his behalf. And Rashi explains that this man did not marry to have the Shari Schar, the gates of income, open for him. Rav Yudah said that one can learn from this incident how difficult it is to provide a person sustenance, for instead of the poor man's sustenance being provided, the natural order was changed on his behalf. And Rav Nachman supported Rav Yudah's observation by pointing out that miracles happen to save people's lives, but food is rarely created. All right, now it's time for our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. Here goes number 1. Which daf do we discuss what the Lamed Tes Melachos correspond to? That's on daf Mem Tes. Great. Number 2. Which daf do we learn about the miracle that occurred to the man who needed a wet nurse for his son? That's on daf Nun Gimel. Great. Number 3. Where do we learn that the halacha follows Machria? It follows the mediator. That's on daf Lamates. Good. Number 4. Where do we learn that one is not permitted to crush ice or snow on Shabbos? That's on daf Nun Aleph. Good. Number 5. Where do we learn that a bechor that gets a mum, that gets a blemish on Yantiv is muksa? That's on daf Memvav. Great. Number 6. Where do we learn the definition, what it means when a camel is akud, it is bound? That's on daf Nandalad. Good. Number 7. Where do we discuss whether animals can carry feed bags and saddle cloths? That's on daf Nun Gimel. Good. Number 8. Where do we discuss purifying animal collars? That's on daf Nun Beis. Great. Number 9. Where do we discuss the par of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the cow of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? That's on daf Nandalad. Good. And number 10. Where do we discuss the importance of washing oneself to give honor to their creator? That's on daf Nun. Excellent. Now we go to the 3 bonus questions for Maseches Brachos. Number 1. Where do we learn that you can't use a tefillin bag for other items? That's on daf Kaf Gimel. Good. Number 2. Where do we learn about the halachos that we learn from Chanas Tfilos? That's on daf Lamed Aleph. Good. And finally, number 3. Where do we the Malchokas learn the pshat in Vasafta Diganecha? That's on daf Lamed Hey. Great. That concludes our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos. This is Rabbi Avram Goldhart from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.